Blog Talk Radio.
Mystique Entertainment, a global network for your top source for live streaming continuous content such as music, film, trade shows, lifestyle and wellness, and reality shows. For business inquiries, contact Mystique Entertainment. Info mystiqueentertainment@gmail.com.
Welcome to DC's Black and White No Gray Zone show. But because this is the DC's Black and White show with no gray zone, I have to play this.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Man, I don't know. It was kind of personal. I don't know. I don't hear these other shows playing it. I'm just joking. I don't know why, but before I get into a show, I get so amped and I have a big giant smile on my face, and I don't know what it is. It's just who I am. Anyway, welcome. I'm going to switch things up, but there's one thing that's going to be a constant on my show. Apology time! Because last time, my last show, which was a month ago, I didn't do it on Mother's Day, but I didn't get to everything I wanted to. And I'm long-winded. We all know this. The gift of gab has been blessed upon me. And when you're cursed with stuff with that type of situation, sometimes you don't get to everything you want to get to. So I'm always going to apologize because I didn't get to whatever I should have. It'll be, if there's ever a show where I don't get to something, right, where I literally get to everything, I won't do an apology, you know, minute. But you know what I will do? I'll point it out. Just like I have to point out, Ed gave me a phone call, the owner of the station, and told me, yeah, that's right, Ed, nothing between us is confidential, bro. I'm like a snitch squealing every 2 seconds. Ed said, but he called me up with some good news. He put my my show on, I think it's like, man, I can't remember everything, but it's like Roku, Apple TV, all those streaming services, right? And he said, within 2 hours, I have 50 listeners. Now, what that means is, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, okay? But let me put it in perspective. When I send out, you know, things on Facebook or when I send out things to people I know, you know, I might get 10% of that, them listening. I might get 100%. Who knows? But when you put a show up on a service where it's unsolicited, no one knows who DC is, and they click on it, 50 people? That was crazy. My man Ed called me up and told me, and I was like, yeah, man, just hit your cart to this horse, man. I'm gone, man. You just got to hang on tight. That's all I'm saying. I will be. Anyway, I have to give myself, this is me breaking my arm to pat myself on the back because my show is that good, and screw anybody that doesn't think so. I don't care. Anyway, okay, so there's a couple of things I wanted to get to, right? Somebody asked me, and I thought this was a really, it got me thinking, it really did. Someone asked me, they said, who do you hate more, Michael Jordan or our fake-ass president? President Trump, right? And I had to really sit and think for a second. I was like, damn. But then I did come up with an answer. And I came across a show on, it's on demand. Let me get the info. I've queued up right now. It's called The Last Dance, right? And I'm going to go back. I'm just going to tell you what it's on the air right now. It's on demand, I guess, on any cable service. The show's called The Last Dance, and it's about Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, you know, the Bulls franchise when they won their 6 titles, right? Now, anybody that knows me knows before I watched this series, like a week ago, right, I wouldn't piss on Michael Jordan if he was on fire standing in front of me. That's just the way I feel. I've heard way too much negativity about the man, how nasty he is in every regard, even the people that he was closest to. You know what I mean? And let me tell you this. This is a rumor. Allegedly, but, you know, it kind of falls in tow with a lot of other stuff that I learned before. And then on top of it, oh, snap, hold on, I got a listener. My girl, My girl just sent me a text that she's listening, so you know who you are. I gotta give you a shout out. Anyway, so okay, listen to this. Before this series, I had nothing good to say about Michael Jordan ever. Since 86 is when I think he came into the league. And after watching this series, yes, I did I think my heart thumped once or twice for him. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to take it back. It's all factual stuff. This isn't about my feelings, okay? This is all factual. I hate when people compare Michael Jordan to Magic Johnson. I can't stand it. See, I've been a fan of basketball since 1979. Ever since I've been watching basketball from then on. So I can't speak about the players before 79. You know what I mean? You hear about the greats, you know, Wilt Chamberlain. But, you know, think about it. They had to change the rules because of this brother. You know what I mean? Love you, too. That's how I do. I do my little secret hints and shots out to people while I'm talking in the middle of a message. And then I keep on flowing, baby. That's how it is on the DC Black and White Show, No Gray Zone. But anyway, so back in, what was it? I have to pull this up. Actually, I had it up here, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. I did a video on YouTube. You know, you can post your own videos and this and that. And I posted this video. It was called Magic Jordan versus Michael Jordan. I'm sorry, Magic Johnson versus Michael Jordan. Who's best? And I uploaded this video 8 years ago, right? So if you ever go look and see it, it's when I had my beard. I had my long beard. I had it tied up in white rubber bands. Anyway, looking pretty good for 8 years, bro. Anyway, and in that video, it's about, let me see how long it is. It's 15 minutes and 15 seconds. And it is nothing but factual stuff. And the reason I'm bringing this up is this. Magic Johnson, to me, is the best thing to ever lace up two pairs of shoes and play on parquet floor anywhere. He made his team great. In 79, when he came into the league as a rookie, he played three positions in the playoffs. He played forward, center, point guard. I think in that game he scored 42 points, which is like ridiculous to play three different positions and be able to hold it down legitimately. Because you would never see Michael Jordan playing center. You know what I'm saying? You would never see him playing power forward. He doesn't do that. That's not who he was. He wasn't as versatile as the real MJ. Anyway, and maybe, and I'll even speak on this. Maybe I'm a little bit. Maybe I'm a little bit impartial because you know I'm from Los Angeles, born and raised. But I also know what good basketball is, and Magic made his team great. And let me explain to you what I mean by that, because a lot of people, and I've argued with people for years on YouTube about who was the greatest, this and that, and I even had fans write me off of them seeing my 15-minute video. I had Chicago fans write me. It's in black and white on the page. You ever want to sit and just read all the comments all the way down? These dudes are like, man, I never thought of it that way. You know, I'm from Chicago, so I was repping my town. But, yeah, I mean, what you're saying is 100% factual. You can't beat what I'm saying. There's no facts that are ever going to – you can come up with an opinion adverse to mine. That's fine. You can do that. But a fact, you're in the losing column. So – but I had, like I said, Chicago fans even bow down and be like, wow, dude, you know what? You're right. I got to give you that. I got to give you, you know, a shout out for this. So anyway, before I finish talking about this video, there is a point, and I guess I should talk about something nice about Jordan just for a hot second before I get into sounding like I want to be Jordan. You know, it is possible to hate somebody and not really, like, want to be them because there's nothing about the man personally that I've ever heard that I go, oh, my God, I wish I could be just like Mike. No, bump that, okay? I'd rather be a little white man with a two-inch pecker, okay, than Mike. I said it. That's right. I went there. Anyway, there is on episode 9, at the 25-minute mark, there was something real crummy that was done to Jordan. Now, I'm not the type of person who says karma's a bitch, and I'm not the, you know, whenever you hear me laugh out the pocket, you know I just received a text. So I'm not just crazy, you know what I'm saying? I am actually multitasking here. You know, I got my laptop in my lap. I got my phone next to me, you know what I mean? I got the TV on. I am multitasking, you know? But anyway, so there was something that happened with Jordan when he was playing, I think it was in Utah. If I pull this up, I think it was Utah that they were playing. And they were the Chicago Bulls were in Utah. It was a championship game. And the night before the game, Jordan and his people in his room, it was late, it was like 12 o'clock or maybe 2 o'clock, somewhere around there, but they ordered a pizza. They couldn't find anywhere that was open to eat. So they ordered the pizza, right? The pizza gets there, and now this is the weird part, but this isn't really something that will make you really think like, oh, okay, well, you know, something's going on. Five dudes that came to Michael Jordan's room to deliver one pizza. Now, you know, he's a superstar. I get it. I understand it. But think about this for a second, right? If I'm a celebrity, and he had, by the way, it wasn't just him in the room. He had, I think it was like four or five, six people in the room with him. All these people all looked at that situation and said, I'm not eating that, right? Jordan was the one that was starving, which I understand, man, your metabolism, you're going. That dude, I'll say something nice about him right now. He's a beast. Physically, when he was playing, he was a beast as far as what he was able to do, how far he pushed his body. I don't think I've ever seen that other than maybe Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, maybe even Julius Erving. A handful of players. They were just, you just couldn't stop them. You know what I mean? And they just had the will, the win, the drive mentally. They weren't going to stop. So everybody in the room said, I'm not touching the pizza. Well, anyway, Jordan ended up eating nothing. Maybe he ate the whole pizza. I'm not really sure. But they said that he woke up at, what was it, 4 o'clock in the morning, violently throwing up, had food poisoning, right? He came to the game the next day, you know, in a suit and tie. And he looks a little weary in the face, but, you know, he wasn't smiling and, you know, bobbing his head to his music like he usually would. He gets out on the floor and in the special is what I'm talking about, where it's called The Last Dance, the ninth episode, 25-minute mark. Jordan does something phenomenal on the floor, and I will give him his props. He was a hot dog, okay? I mean, if you gave me the ball, 46 minutes out of the 48 minutes, I'd shoot the hell out of the ball too. So, I mean, but I digress. Let's talk about Jordan. He's feeling so bad physically that he walks over to Scotty. Scotty puts his right arm around his shoulder. And Jordan wraps his arms around Scotty's waist as they're walking back to the bench. And Jordan lays his head on Scotty's right shoulder. In that particular moment when I saw that, I said, damn. I felt a little bit. I was like, okay, maybe I might squirt a little bit of pee on him if he's on fire. You know, just a little bit. Like 2 seconds worth. You know? You know what I mean? But it was an endearing moment, and I felt like he was human. And it's really crummy because I've worked for celebrities before, and the one thing you don't do is let anyone know what celebrity you're working for and who the food is for. You know, people that you order from don't need to know who they're ordering people. Because, again, he's in Utah. What would make him think he's going to get a good meal, properly cooked or whatever, from the Utah fans? They're in a championship. I think that was one of the dumbest moves I've ever heard anyone talk about. I was really blown away by the stupidity. And not just Jordan, because when you're a celebrity, you got a lot of things in your mind, and you got a lot of things in your mind, and there's a lot of moving parts. I get it. But I'm talking about his team. The people that surrounded him should have protected him better. And in that moment, I felt like, damn, what kind of squad do you have? You know, your people, like, okay, I'll give you an example. I have a young man in my life. He's 18, 19 years. No, he's like 20, I think. He's 20. And I've spoken about him in previous shows. He wants to be a rapper. He's in Connecticut. he's like my Xbox son. I met him over at Xbox years ago. And me and him talk now as grown men. And I talk to him. He doesn't live with his dad. And I talk to him on more of a mature level. You know, and I'm letting him know, like, hey, man, when you're out there, put a condom on. You don't want to have 50 kids and then 50, you know, court cases against you where everybody's trying to pull and get something from you when you're starting out in your career. You know, and I give him all, I talk from A to Z with this kid because I truly do care about him and I hope that he succeeds, right? If I was going to be working for him, whether it be bodyguard, whether it be manager or whatever, anybody that was in the room, I would be the one making the phone call, ordering the pizza. No one would know, you know, my man's name is Dev, right? I wouldn't be like, yo, this is for rapper Dev. Yeah, he's hungry, and he wants extra this and extra that, so make it good. What the hell are you guys thinking? Is nobody protecting the man? But, you know, I back up on all that. You know what I mean? It just, and by the way, this is the way I treated the celebrities I bodyguarded. I bodyguarded Anna Nicole Smith, Derek Fisher, who's a former Los Angeles Laker, Alyssa Milano, Ashanti. She's a singer. Some people don't know. Maybe you do know. But anyway, my point is you have to think for them. They have so much going on, and if you're a team member, if you're on a squad, if you're on a team, then you have to be able to, you know, your mind has to be thinking three steps ahead. You know, in other words, the world is playing checkers. You have to be playing chess. You know what I'm saying? Your mind has to be working in that way. That's why I could always call anybody up and get a good recommendation. But anyway, so I felt bad for him. But now let's get to the facts, okay? I think I spent how much time? Okay, that's a quarter of the show. I don't want to get all these text messages about how bad I am and how all I do is trash Jordan. Because I just went on a good 15-minute rant about, you know, giving a man some compassion and hopefully he had a squad behind him. Now, let's get to my part, to the second part of the show where I F Jordan and screw him, and he's a hot dog. Okay, so here we go. Magic Johnson came into the league, won his rookie year, won a championship. Now, who has ever done that? Michael Jordan's never done it. Larry Bird never did it. Julius Erving never did it. You can name every current player playing today, right now, right? That's funny. Anyway, you can. I did call Jordan a hot dog. Somebody just sent me a hot dog emoji. I thought that was funny. Anyway, but yeah, my point is this: Magic came onto the Lakers as a rookie, and you gave him the ball because he's a point guard. He had great handles. He could handle that ball. And he made his team great. Now, there were some famous Lakers on the team already, yeah. But household names, people known all around the world, I don't think so. The only other person was maybe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, obviously. Everybody knew him. I think he had previous championships when he was a Milwaukee Buck. That's who drafted him out of UCLA. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. And I'm not going to sit here and take the time to look it up. But so he had, you know, but even Kareem, when he was in the Lakers, he hadn't won a championship. Magic made Norm Nixon, Bob McAdoo, Michael Cooper, Byron Scott, Kurt Rambis. Let me say this again. The only white man on the team, Kurt Rambis, okay? He made, oh, James Worthy. Sorry. Can't forget about Big James. I mean, all these guys, he made them household names. He made them famous, infamous. When you played with Magic in the 80s, man, you were gliding and sliding. You know what I'm saying? Because when you have a man coming down the court on a fast break and he's the one handling the ball, all you have to do is stay alert. That's your main job, stay alert. Get ready to catch the ball. Because Magic is seeing behind him, in front of him, to the left and to the right. He's analyzing the field when he's analyzing the parquet like you know how you see in the movies when the Terminator goes to kill somebody, you know, he's sizing them up. He's like, oh, zero threat, and you see like a kid holding a popsicle, and then you see a black man with braids and it's like, kill him, shoot him now. Yeah, that's a little 2020 joke right there. You know what I mean? Nobody's laughing though, right? I'm not even gonna giggle on that one. I should giggle, but I'm not going to because it's not funny what's going on in America. Anyway, and Magic, all he did was hit you. Boom. Easy buckets because people were defending him. They didn't want him to take the shot. You know, it's great when you have a player like Magic on the floor so that he could draw the defense to him. And when he draws the defense to him, then it opens up the offense for your players, to your left, to your right, behind you. I mean, sometimes he would run right underneath the basket, throw the ball over his backside, okay? A blind throw over the backside, and James Worthy would be coming up behind him, grab that ball, slam dunk, and Chick Hearns would be the eggs are cooling, the jello's getting hard. You know what I mean? Oh, I love Chicky Hearns. Chicky Baby. Chicky Baby was the announcer for the Los Angeles Lakers back in the 80s, and he was literally the old white dude. He was the greatest announcer I've ever heard, period, bar none. I mean, people might say Howard Cosell, but I think Howard Cosell wouldn't have been anything without Muhammad Ali. Don't get me started on Muhammad Ali. I think I might have to do a show on my man Muhammad. Oh, my God, and trust and believe, I won't be talking about Trump and I won't be talking about any other subject when I do a show on Muhammad Ali. I was named after this man. I have such respect. The love and what he went through as an athlete, as a person, as an individual, I will do a show on him. Maybe I might even do a two-part show. Hell, I may even call in and be like, yo, man, I need 2 hours that night. You know what I mean? I can literally fill a two-hour show with what Muhammad Ali did. Oh, my God, trust me. But anyway, getting back to what I'm talking about. Magic actually won 5 championships, okay? 5 titles. Jordan won 6, okay? So everybody says Jordan's the greatest player of all time. I'm sorry. Hold on one second. Bullshit. I'm sorry. Oh, my allergies are acting up. Oh, boy. Sorry about that, Ed. My point is, you know, Ric Flair is a professional wrestler, and he has a saying. He says, woo, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And that right there is some powerful stuff. To be the man, you have to beat the man. Now, think about that for a second. Just let that soak in for like 20 seconds. Think about it. That's powerful. Because I'm going to equate it to basketball. Magic won 5 championships, okay, against, I think it was one time. Well, I'll say this because I don't want to say the wrong numbers. What I will say is this. He won his championships against the Bad Boys, Detroit Pistons, Boston Celtics, Larry Bird, Dennis Johnson, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, and the 76ers, which had Maurice Cheeks, Moses Malone, and my man Dr. J. Now, that made me think of something funny real quick. The Lakers lost 1 year to the 76ers, and it was the worst ass-whooping I've ever seen my Lakers take. It was hard. It was really hard to take. I'm not going to make any excuses as to who was hurt, who was injured, who wasn't playing. 76ers took them 4 straight, swept my boys. Oh, my heart was killing. My heart was it still aches. Like, I felt just a little tickle right there. And they put a microphone in front of Moses Malone, and Moses Malone was a center for the Philadelphia 76ers, okay? He was a guy who, I think he went straight from high school into the NBA. And I'm almost positive, don't quote me on this, but I don't think he graduated, okay? I think he went into the league at 17 or 8. I don't remember. I don't want to get in that. This is really not the important part. Let's just say he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, though, right? Okay, so this is back when VHS, you know, you take the games and watch them over the summer, and, hey, you want to watch game 2? Oh, hell yeah, let's do that. You know, they grab some popcorn and some beer. It was fun. Anyway, they put the microphone in front of Moses Malone, and the announcer said, how do you feel, blah, 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 blah. I forget what the question was. And this is what Moses Malone said. We did some bum bum. And I looked over at my mom. I'm sitting there watching it with my mom, right? I'm 12 years old. I looked at my mom. I said, what? And as soon as she looked at me, and we both said to each other, what did he say? It took us, I swear to God, after the game, we rounded so many times, we finally got what he said. He took them we took them 4-4. We took them bone four. I was like, wow. I mean, you know what I mean? He's the guy that they should put in the 12th grade. You know how they put those films up when you're in sixth grade, and it, you know, they show you the sexual organs and all that stuff. They should have Moses Malone at the end go, graduate. You just have him up there. But anyway, so, but getting back to Magic and what he did in the 80s, right? He made his team great. He made his teammates better than they even were. And it was a phenomenal time because in those teams that I mentioned, those three teams that I mentioned Magic won against, those three teams, which was the Boston Celtics, Philadelphia 76ers, and the Detroit Bad Boys. And I say the Bad Boys, and I have to kind of explain some things, and I hope that people don't feel like I'm talking down to them. But I think I might have more female listeners than male. But now that I'm on the services, maybe there's men out there that know what I'm talking about. When I say the Bad Boys were a rough, tough, sock'em type of physical team. It had, Lambeer. It had Bill Lambeer was his name. It had Dennis Rodman on it. There was a bunch of big dudes. They were angry players, bro, and they were just tough and rough. But anyway, teams I mentioned won championships in the 80s. Now, think about that for a second. You got a decade. Half that decade, my Lakers won against every one of those championship teams. So what I mean is, I'm going to make the point very clear because I'm going to hop to now Jordan because he came in the league, I think, in 86. And then he left, I think it was in 98, I think it was. You know, I mean, he took a year and a half off in between because his dad was killed and all that. But anyway, Los Angeles Lakers, led by Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, won 5 out of 10 championships in the 80s. Now, that's the most impressive thing I've ever seen any team do. Mic drop. I should end the show right now. God damn it, I should just hit, boom, end the show. Leave it at that. Because it's never, everything I'm going to say now is going to be way lesser than what I just said. But let's just put another half hour. Really, there's no contract. But I had to make myself sound extra important, right? I don't mind. I don't care. Okay, so listen to this. Jordan came in the league in 86, okay? He's just like Kobe Bryant. He was like a newborn puppy with a newspaper, running around, tearing shit up, shooting the ball, missing shots, not giving his teammates a chance. Me. That's who he was. Nothing special at all. And he's in the East Coast. Jordan and the Bulls are in the East Coast. So they had to go through teams like Detroit, Boston, and Philly. Not once did Jordan ever make it out of the East Coast until all the greats fell off in 1990. That's when all these guys retired. Magic, I think he had already announced, and I could be wrong on this too. I don't remember what year he announced he had AIDS, but I think it was either 90 or 91, somewhere around there. But there was a certain point where people didn't even want him on the floor. They were like, I don't want to play against him. This is, you know, the stigma of what was behind AIDS and HIV and everything. So, but the reason I bring all this up is Jordan didn't win a championship in the 80s. Do you want to know why? Because he wasn't good enough. He was getting spanked like the fresh puppy. See, I'm catching myself, Ed, that dropped the load on the kids on a brand new parquet floor. You know what I mean? Jordan was just like Kobe, just a mess. And that's why I kind of laugh as a fan of basketball whenever they would compare Kobe to Jordan. I'm like, okay, you can compare, you know, somebody who's not as good as Magic. I don't understand. Magic was a scorer, a rebounder, a ball handler, a strategist. He did everything. He wasn't a guy. And by the way, his teammates loved him. Loved Magic, okay? And I'm saying all this for a reason. If you watch this special called The Last Stand, Jordan's teammates hated him. If you watch the dynamics of, you know, them being asked questions and this and that, you know how if you said to me, there you go, let's see. If somebody said to me, you know, I'm on camera, right? So I said, hey, you watch gay porn? And I said, you'd be like, oh, okay, he does watch gay porn. What's the hesitation about? You know what I mean? Okay. But this is how these guys are answering. Did you like Jordan? Was Jordan an asshole to you? Was he not a good team member? Blah, blah, blah. Now what they do is they dress it up as he was a motivator. Man, he verbally disrespected people on the team. He even went so far as to one of his teammates. Now, mind you, he was a bully, the bully of all bullies. I think basically we should change the definition of bully and just put Michael Jordan's face up there. And that's it. Not even a worded description. Just put his face and that's it. Because he was the original, the OG bully. He was nasty, mean, verbally disrespectful. The things he said, they had to bleep on the show. It was ridiculous. And mind you, now remember, these are all grown men. It's not like it's even worse if he's talking to kids, but every single one of them are married, got a girlfriend, they got kids, they got their own. They're grown-ass adults. I'll be damned if I got a man talking to me like that, because we're going to be squaring up in 2 seconds. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, guess who, and here's another fun fact about Jordan. Guess who was the one guy out of his 12-year career, and I could be wrong about the 12 years, I don't know. I really don't care. I'm just throwing a number out there. It's somewhere between 11 and 14. But I think it was 12, if I remember correctly. Who was the one guy he punched in practice? You would assume Jordan being 6'6", right? Good size for a man. He wasn't a skinny rail. You know, he worked out with weights. Who did he hit? Did he hit Scottie Pippen? No. Did he hit Dennis Rodman? No. What about Bill Cartwright? Big ass white boy that they had as their center. Hit him? Nope. Who did he hit? Kerr. Now, if you guys don't know who Kerr is, Steve Kerr, my man is probably 60, if that, white dude. Tiny little man. If you look at him now, the man does not look like an athlete, okay? He was in there, they showed him currently talking about it. And it blows my mind. When people say Jordan was great, it really bugs me, man. Because if I went to an elementary school, right, the size I am now, right, and I went to elementary school at 12 o'clock, and I hopped the fence, and I walked over to the basketball court, you know, obviously the kids are playing, right? And I walked onto the court and just started smacking them. Oh wow! Ed, you gotta give me one or two. You gotta give me a minimum. I gotta have a maximum of 5 times I can cuss, bro. Just help me, help a brother out, man. The show will flow way better. You know what I mean? Just put me on a different, you know, than all the other shows. I'm fine being the one out of the group. Anyway, if I started walking on the court and just smacking kids and punching people right and left, and mind you, these are all 12-year-old and 11-year-olds, right? You would be like, what is wrong with this dude? People would look at me like I was the worst person on the planet. Michael Jordan chose to physically get in this dude's face, and I think he punched him in the chest. Did he punch him in the chest? I forget where he hit him. Either punch him in the chest or punch him in the face. I think it was a punch in the chest, though. But anyway, point is this. He's a horrible human being. And there's one more thing I want to bring up. This isn't anything about him being horrible as a person. But truly, what is going on with Jordan's eyes? I mean, is anyone else disturbed by the way this man's eyeballs look? His eyes are orange. They're not even a red at this point. It's when the white and the red mix together and become an odd color of orange. And maybe it's the cigars he smokes. I don't know. And I'm not being funny when I say this. I have no clue what's going on with the man's eyeballs. His eyes have always been a weird color. And I would like to probably, I didn't even think about it, I just thought about the fact right now. I probably should have looked up some video to see when he was in high school and college to see if his eyes were red then. Because I'm going to assume that all that cigar smoke is what makes his eyes that weird, weird, almost brownish-orange color. It's an odd color. When you see this series, you guys will sit here and know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, if he looks down or up, you'll see the white part. And it's crazy. It's like his eye is like a candy cane. You know what I mean? It's an odd, odd thing. But anyway. So, now I'm getting back to what Jordan has done, right? Jordan won 6 championships. Before I go on this tirade, I'm going to take a swig of water. And how am I going to entertain you for those 3 seconds while I'm swallowing? I'm not. I'm just going to hope I don't choke on it. Anyway. So, Jordan actually won 6 titles. And who did he win against? He won against the Portland Trail Blazers. I think it was the Houston Rockets, Seattle Supersonics, and the Utah Jazz. Could I be wrong? Maybe it wasn't the Rockets. Was it the Rockets? I don't know. But let's just bottom line it, okay? I'm going to bottom line this right now. All teams that he won against, those 6 titles, because he won against Utah twice. Seattle once. I don't know the other 3. But again, it's really not important because I know for a fact none of those teams that he – oh, I know. I remember he won against Charles Barkley and the Phoenix Suns 1 year. So that's 4 titles right there. All those championships, right? None of the teams he beat were champions. To be the man, you got to beat the man. Ric Flair. Ric Flair said it. You may not like professional wrestling, but that's one of the smartest things I've ever heard in life. Who the hell wants to – okay, if there was an opportunity for me to become world heavyweight champion, WBA world heavyweight champion, right, and they put me in a ring with Howie Mandel, and they were like, here, vacant title. Who the hell wants to beat up on Howie Mandel? Nobody respects him as a fighter. Even if he put on trunks and had a cup on, nobody's going to look at him as a fighter. So when I – you know what they say when you're a champion? I mean, this is truly – this is when you know somebody is truly an athlete, okay? It isn't about you winning the title. You have to defend it at least one time in order to be respected as a real champion. Although, for the record books, all you have to do is be the champion and you're a title winner and you'll go down in the facts. Oh, did I say WBA? Damn, that was bad. Thank you, thank you. I didn't mean that. But anyway, WBC. Yeah, I think it's WBA. that's a bad mistake. I can't believe I flubbed that one though. Hold on, let's see what that is. Okay. Well, I'm gonna tell you what I just did. Right, I just put in WBC. It comes up white blood count. I love pointing out my mistakes. Oh my God, I love it. There's nothing fake about this show. It's all real. It's all real. I don't have a problem with it. But anyway, I thought. okay, I'm sorry. I just got sent a GIF, a GIF, like an emoji, and it was a clown coming out of a hole. You know the clown from what's that? Pennywise. He's like a hole in the ground, and he comes out of it. It's kind of funny. But anyway, yeah, I just loved it. So, all right. Anyway, getting back to Jordan, he did not win against any championship team. No one that had won previously, he ever faced. So let me get this right. Let's really summarize Jordan's career. Okay. To summarize it real quick, he couldn't win a championship in the 80s because he was getting his ass handed to him by Dr. J and the 76ers, by Larry Bird and the Celtics, by Dennis Rodman and the Bad Boys, Detroit Pistons. Isaiah Thomas was also on that team, too. He couldn't even get to the championship in the East Coast. He couldn't even win the Eastern Conference Finals. How do you put a man like that and say he's the greatest basketball player of all time? You can call him great in your own category. That's fine. You can say he's a great scorer. Okay. If basketball was a one-on-one sport, then I would agree with you and call and say he's a great scorer. But basketball is not a one-on-one sport. Basketball is not 100% about scoring. They don't get out on the floor and play a game of horse to see who's the best. That is not it. They have five people on a team. And there's all kind of categories from free throwing to rebounds to turnovers to point scoring to assists and everything. All those things come together and make a great player, Magic Johnson. You put me on a team and you ask me, do I want Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson? Magic Johnson, 10 out of 10. Magic Johnson, 100 out of 100. If you know basketball, you're picking Magic Johnson, period. Now, if you are looking at basketball as, well, I'm going to let Jordan score, because I will give him this. He was the most athletic scorer I've seen in a, I mean, I don't know. There's been some dudes that can make some uncomfortable-looking shots. But he almost made a career, Jordan, when I say he. Jordan almost made a career of making the most impossible shots look easy. It's disturbing. Now, the man had a great work ethic, and they actually talk about it in the last dance. They talk about it. And there's so much about that show. I was not a fan and never had been a fan of the Chicago Bulls, but I enjoyed the show because there was a lot of things happening behind the scenes and a lot of information being given that I didn't know as a fan. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm just saying, if you ask me, do I want to be a champion beating and defeating five championship teams each time I won? Or would I want six championships and beat a bunch of nobodies, new booties, wet behind the ears, puppies? Okay? These dudes haven't won a championship. What are you winning then? It's like a vacant title. I mean, let's be real. It's like a vacant title. Boxers will understand that concept. MMA will fans will understand that concept. It's when an athlete either gets hurt or he's suspended, you know, and it goes longer than when he's mandated to defend the title, then they vacate the title. And then what they do is some places just take the top two and give you the fight, right? The top two contenders. But other people, they actually, and I respect this, they actually do it in a tournament. And I've seen those tournaments. When you can fight four times in a day, you deserve that title. And that, to me, is equal to being the man to beat the man. You know what I'm saying? Fighting one time against a really tough opponent, ranked number one or ranked number two, yeah, I guess. I mean, to me, again, it's just like Jordan's all of Jordan's titles. They absolutely mean nothing to me. Because what did Jordan have to do? Jordan had to wait until 91. I think that's when he beat the Los Angeles Lakers. And Magic was on it. I'm going to address that. Pump your brakes. Magic is better than Jordan. Don't get it twisted. But when you can't win a title against the greats, can you be referred to as great? I mean, I'm being serious here. Take out my own biasness of my own dislike for Jordan. Seriously. Can you call someone great? And now, mind you, I am all for any black athlete that can get his millions in the United States of America. They get more than a golf clap from me, okay? Because black men are not given things in this country. We don't get our 50 acres and a mule. We don't get, you know, our stipend. And I've already talked about slavery and how you know, we started out way behind other races. And then you had Obama. Racism is over. I had some white man tell me that, and I knew he wasn't racist. And I just shook my head, and I was like, man, white people. I won't go there. Anyway, he's my boy. I have friends that sometimes say stupid stuff, as I say stupid stuff too, so no worries. But anyway, so Jordan won all his titles against non-champions. Six titles, six wins. I just can't see how you can call him great. I will put Julius Erving, a man who won one championship in the 80s, who swept my Lakers. I put him above Michael Jordan as a player. You want to know why? Because he beat a champion. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And any boxer, MMA, any athlete that's a one-on-one type situation, a wrestler, you don't want to go out there and beat up on somebody that doesn't have a title. Who wants to? I mean, look. It's a situation where if you truly have that that drive in your gut that makes you want to be number one, it's just, if you're not an athlete, it's hard for me to even try to explain it, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? You want to beat, okay, I'll give you a perfect example, right? This is a really good example. It popped in my head. My dad was like 5'10", 320 pounds. Big dude, man. And I fought with him when I was a kid. And he would use his weight against me. So I'm weighing like 110, you know what I'm saying, 120 maybe. And he's knocking me around being three times my size. He's using his butt. He would literally, he called it the butt bump, right? If I'm defending him, he would rear forward and shoot his ass backward. And I swear to you, I'm not saying this for visual effect. I caught air, okay? I flew to the grass and landed on my back so many times. And then he'd stand there, turn around, and shoot out shot. Okay? So by the time I finally beat my dad at a game of basketball, do you know how satisfying it was for me? It was like I won the NBA title, the World Heavyweight Championship, WWE Championship, the Heisman Trophy, every title there was. It was like it all just, I felt wonderful. And guess what my dad did? He never played me again. The first time I beat him was the last time we played. So I mentioned that to him, right? Like, he was, you know, he's like 79 years old. This was like last year or 2 years ago. And I said to him, I said, Pop, you know that wasn't the right thing to do. And he goes, well, I figured, you know, you beat me. Well, no, I said, you just didn't want to lose again. That's what it was. And 100%, I'm not even questioning it. My dad did not want to lose twice to me. You know what I'm saying? And so I always thought I would never do that with my son. So my son is bigger than me. He's like 6'5", over 300 pounds, right? So it was funny. We were sitting down at a Claim Jumper. We closed the restaurant down. I mean, they were picking up the chairs, putting them on the table. I didn't even look at my thing. Hold on. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting all these text messages, and I didn't even read it. I look over and I see this, and it's stuff I can't say on the air. So let's just leave it at that. But anyway, thank you though for that laugh. So I look over and I'm talking to my son, and he was on the football team in high school, right? I mean, just a massive dude. He's got really good genetics. I love my genetics. His mom is 5'6", by the way. So my mom is 5 feet tall. So I don't know how I got to be so tall at 6'3", but he's 6'5". So I'm talking to him, this and that, da, da, and he goes, and out of nowhere, we're talking and laughing. He goes, you want to arm wrestle? I looked at him, and I was going to say, hell no. But then it took me back to when I was sitting with my dad, and I asked him, I said, let's play basketball, and he turned me down. Because the thing is about arm wrestling, I don't arm wrestle. That's not my thing. You know what I'm saying? I'll lift weights with you. I'll play sports against you. But arm wrestling, I just, you know, that's not my thing. I don't care. But, okay, so I did it, right? So we go up on the table. We lock arms. And we lock our other arms underneath. Anybody who knows arm wrestling understands what I'm talking about. It's almost like your arms are crisscross in the X. One is, you know, up in the air, and the other's laying on the table underneath you. So basically, if I can take his hand and make it tap my forearm, that's the end of the match, right? So and he's 18 at this point, okay? He's 18. Like, all these facts matter. So we're sitting there, and we say, one, two, three, go. And he's a big dude. I mean, he's a lineman. You know what I'm saying? Like, he dwarfs me. I mean, you know, I look small next to him. You know what I'm saying? So I'm literally, my strategy is, because I'm a thinker and I'm in my 40s at the time, you know, my early 40s, I got my hand up and I'm like, weather the storm. Because my attitude is he's probably going to try to jerk me and win real quick because he's young. And there's an old joke where there's a father bull and a son bull up on top of a hill overlooking a pasture of cows. And the son says to the father bull, he goes, hey, pop, let's run down and F some of them cows. And the father goes, nah, son, let's walk down and F them all. Oh, my God, I love that one. I love that one. So anyway, Ed, you got it. You're killing me, bro. I can't be saying F this and F that. Give me five, bro. Give me a maximum of five. That's all I'm asking. Please, please, baby, please, baby, please. Anyway, so we're locked up, and I'm thinking he's going to really jerk me hard. So I'm just really got my arm on lock, you know. He starts out, and his hand is bigger than mine too, by the way, right? So in the beginning, it wasn't much pull. I was just staying firm, locked up, you know, directly towards the ceiling. And I'm looking at the situation. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, oh, okay, my son is smart. He ain't trying to jerk me right in the beginning. He's going to really try to eke this one out. He's going to, you know, wear me down. You know what I'm saying? He's got the young muscle versus the older muscle. That's what his strategy is. I'm proud that my son is even thinking through it, right? Right? And I'm not even looking at him. I'm looking down, right? So finally I look up. I swear to God, when I look up, my son is over there. Okay, I'm sure everyone has seen this before. When Hulk Hogan is coming back at the end of the match and he's shaking and the people are hitting him and he shakes some more, you know, his arms are shaking and he hits him again and he's shaking. This is what my son is doing. I look up and he's shaking, vibrating over there. And I'm thinking, is he putting on a show for me? Like trying to make it, like, in other words, I thought he was trying to lure me into a safe sense of security so that I don't go so hard that he's showing that he's weak and then he takes me down. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm telling you, I'm a chess player that way. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking all up. You see, you ask me how many sides there are to a box, I say six. You know what I mean? But anyway, most people say four or five. But anyway, my point is this. I look over and I go, really? And he looks up at me and goes, what? And I said, nothing. And he's shaking. So finally, I start to slowly bring him my way, right, thinking that's when he's going to turn on the power because I literally want to wear him out. I think I can get through it with this, you know, maturity and a mature strategy. I go to take him down, and I bring him down to maybe an inch to my arm, and I looked at him, and he's literally suffering over there. So I tap my forearm, and I win, right? You know what he says to me? He goes, no, our arms were in the way. We got to read. I said, for real? I said, okay, all right, cool. Now, mind you, anybody, if you don't have a referee, that's how you know who wins. You tap the forearm. That's just arm wrestling 101, you know what I mean? But, okay, anyway. So we lock up again. So now I'm like, I don't think he's as strong as he looks. But I still don't want to get too cocky, right? I'm not saying nothing to him. So I get him locked up, and we go again. And I literally just kind of, in 10 seconds, slowly take him down. I'm not trying to injure my boy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to jerk his arm and tear his bicep up. So I'm literally going steady. And I'm watching him, and I'm like, is he really? Like, and I take him down all the way to the table, and boom, and I win. And he looks at me like I just lifted up the building. You know what I mean? Like it makes me think that he's beating kids his own age, you know, very easily. But he was so in shock. He was like, what the fuck? Oh, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? That's what he was thinking. Ed, you're killing me, bro. You're killing me. Every time, Ed. Anyway, I want to get to, there's so many subjects I had on for tonight's show. But I didn't even get to any of them. But what I will do is this. I think the series, The Last Dance, is a great, if you get the time during this quarantine, it really is a good watch if you're a fan of basketball. Even if you're a fan of Michael Jordan, it's a good watch. You know what I mean? For me, it was cool that they showed certain things behind the scenes. And it was very, very cool to see. a lot of the things. Scottie Pippen got abused, and the Chicago franchise just really dicked him over financially. And I just it's disgusting how they did him. It really, really is low. Because usually when you have a team or you have a great athlete and you sign him to a crappy contract, most teams or franchises, they will renegotiate with you a year. Let's say you sign a 7-year contract, right? They're not going to make you wait 7 years because they want you to be happy. They want you to feel fulfilled. They want you to know that they appreciate you. And that's it's not thank yous and give me cards. Give me my money, homie. That's what it's about. Ka-ching, bruh. Ka-ching. They didn't do him that way. They made him wait all the way through his contract. When any other franchise, and I've seen it several times, they will turn around and be like, okay, here, we didn't expect you to do this. We want you to stay here. We want you to be happy here. Boom. Usually, that's what happens. When you don't have a selfish organization like the Chicago Bulls was in the 90s. So anyway, my heart went out to Scottie Pippen watching that. It was really, really sad. When Chicago Bulls won one of their championships, Dennis Rodman was with Carmen Electra. And I'm going to end this basketball talk on a funny story that I heard Dennis Rodman say on when he was being interviewed by Howard Stern in New York, right? He said, Dennis, we heard that Carmen caught you cheating on her and you were in a hotel. And he said, the excuse you gave her was the funniest thing I've ever heard. He said, please, tell us this story. He said he was getting down with a girl, right? He didn't expect Carmen to come in. Carmen comes in, catches him with the girl in bed. Dennis proceeds to tell Carmen that he doesn't know where this girl came from. She dropped in from the ceiling. This is a grown man. I don't even know how Carmen Electra didn't laugh through that. You know what I mean? Because I swear to God, if I caught my woman, I would have laughed my butt off. And she said, "Well, this dude, I don't know where this dude come from. He fell through the ceiling. You know, I'm not doing nothing. I don't know what the hell is going on in this bed. This is the play that he decided to do with Carmen. I fell out laughing. I had tears in my eyes. And he said, and he basically pushed the story. You know, like he was doing what he had to do. But anyway, man, I'm so upset that I only have a minute and a half left. There's so many things I wanted to say about our president, Tramp. But as you can tell, I love basketball. And I'm just going to really say once again that I hope everyone does not forget what President Tramp has put our country through, what he's done to us, the things he's done, the court cases that allegedly are pending right now in court, allegedly saying he's raped and allegedly raped and allegedly attacked women. I think it's over a dozen cases. I just need everyone to remember who he is. And it doesn't matter what Joe Biden says, okay? He's the lesser of two evils. You could put the Pink Panther up against Tramp at this point, and I'd be voting the Pink Panther in. You know what I'm saying? I would vote the Invisible Man in before President Tramp. And I'm hoping everybody uses their brain this time around, this time, and we all get it right. Because we can't take 4 more years, the biggest moron and idiot in our country running this place. I mean, let's not remember in February he was saying that the virus did not exist. It was a hoax. Remember that, people? All right. So I just need you to remember. The situation we're in right now would not be as bad if he had stepped up and done the right thing right away. Hope you guys all enjoyed the show. I'm out.